sadly, I'm not here with my my colleagues. She couldn't come, but there you go. I'm going to talk a little bit about motivational interviewing and appreciative inquiry, and we created a model called My Aims. And my two co-pilots, Annette Garner and Kristen Crusoe, are the AI experts, and I'm the MI expert, although I'm learning and gaining on the AI piece. I do have to declare, because I do have another hat as a consultant, but I'm wearing my faculty hat today. So the background, as you all know, students transitioning from their first, their final clinical into the reality of professional life is scary as all Dickens, and they really don't feel like real nurses. And I don't know, have any of you heard or used motivational interviewing? Yay! You know, it's really not that long ago that that was really about 50% or 25%. So we're gaining. The rest of the story, though, is do you use the skill set appropriately? So that's the other part of it. And then appreciative inquiry, anyone familiar with that one? Oh, a couple. Yay. Yay, David. All right. So appreciative inquiry has also been around for over 25 years. I think they came together about the same time, and is a study of human systems, individual teams, organizations, and everything's kind of looked at in a positive swing. So what we wanted to do is I and Kristen first started talking about this a while ago, and she's kind of described it as we came together like peanut butter and jelly. MI and AI, and it took me a little bit to come together with the idea of My Aims, which is motivational interviewing and appreciative inquiry manifesting, which is an AI word, manifesting success, which is what we were hoping to do. We just said, let's see if it'll work. And that's what this is the little bit that we've done so far. So the motivational interviewing is the one piece. AI is the other piece. The third piece, which I felt was really important, perhaps because I'm a health behavior person, but it is the theory piece, the behavior change piece, and I think that's one of the elements that gets forgotten is, yay, we get excited about positive language and yay, how to talk to our patients, but sometimes we forget and that other people especially don't understand. You have to figure out what your goal is. You have to figure out what the behavior is that you're working with, not just for your client, but for yourself. And so in this particular model, working with new nursing, their final clinical nursing students just about to graduate, we had to figure out what were their behaviors that they were having issues with to make some decisions. So in this case, we looked at one called, delegation. This is out of using the Oregon Consortium of Nursing Education, 10 competencies with all their benchmarks. For this group, it would be at the level 2 area. The Monday presentation, I was talking about the level 3 for the baccalaureate program. But in this case, delegation is one of the dimensions underneath the larger competency of leadership. And then the bullet points here, creates and explains tasks, delegates to others, determines scope and practice. All of those are the specific benchmarks for level 2. And, of course, those students are scared spitless. Who am I to tell someone else what to do? So the behavior in this case is to delegate. It's a choice. It's a behavioral choice. Will I or won't I? Okay? So we introduced them to the concepts of some, the really simple intro level, stages of change, what level, at what point are you in the stages of change regarding the behavior of delegation? Pre-contemplation, a lot of them at this point. Or contemplation, because they know they have to do it sometime in the next 6 months and they're just not ready to. The integrated behavioral model, not as many people are aware of that one, but it's kind of one of the versions of theory of reasoned action, TRA, sorry, totally blanking here. And it's got really nice, I like to use it because it provides a really nice layering of what kind of questions you can ask yourself and explore to figure this stuff out. And then the third one is the implementation intentions model, which is that if-then thinking. So if, the person you're trying to delegate doesn't work out, then what's your next step? What are you going to do after that? There isn't after that. There is an alternative. So MI, for those who aren't familiar, is a very collaborative, that's the whole point, is it's very relationship-oriented, goal, very important, goal-oriented, you got to have a direction, and the whole goal behind MI is having that conversation and knowing that that person knows what they need to do to change. They just need a little help processing what that is, and pulling out all of this information with true acceptance and compassion. So we've talked at different things, and you were talking about some of the homeless scenarios and some of the other things. You know, you have to accept the person where they are and what their goal is. There's a much larger model with, if anyone's ever interested, I love this stuff, so I can talk to you about it all the time. And in fact, we've done a really cool MI simulation that it's really powerful. I still need to write up an article or something, but if anyone's interested in that who loves the sim stuff, let me know. Anyway, we just did the first column, the open-ended questions, the affirmations, reflections, and summary. And you get most of these things, the two that most people don't understand if you're not an MI person. Affirmations are really identifying the strengths, the talents, the efforts of the individual related to that particular behavior. And then reflections are reflecting it back, but not just a paraphrase or a parroting is a simple response, but it's also the larger, let's see if I can give some meaning and feeling to what it is that's going on with them. Appreciative inquiry, then, is really looking at the power, the purpose that individual has, and whether it's done as an individual, a group, or in an organization. And again, you're probably hearing some similar themes here to MI, you know, it's whatever we want more of that already exists, it's within us, okay? And I think the biggie here is that it really shifts people into thinking about that positive languaging skill and seeing how can I flip this, oh, I can't do this, into what would it look like if I did, and what are other ways that I've been successful on something that's really hard. Okay, so very similar in style. The foundation for AI is constructionist principle, principle of simultaneity, poetic principle, and the positive principle. So again, all of them are things that get you thinking about what I have as a strength already. I can do this. I can move forward. The 4D cycle, there's also a 5Ds, but in this case, the 4Ds. So what gives life is discovery. What might be? So what's your dream? What should be, or what's the ideal, the design? And then the last one is destiny. So now what do I do with all this stuff? Where do I go with it? What was interesting, what Kristen and I discovered, is that, as you see, MI and behavior change is in between the design and the destiny, because that's where the gap was. She says, we get people all excited. There's a great plan. They've got the dream. But then things just kind of fall apart afterwards. So MI and behavior change thinking provides the steps. Okay? So, again, like I said, it was just a pilot study. We just wanted to see what was going to happen with this. So we worked with a small group from Lane Community College and did a four-hour workshop introducing them to the ideas of MI and AI and behavior change, calling out some of the behaviors related to what they might be focusing on in their next course, which was their final clinical practicum, and looking at what's your dream, what's your vision of an ideal nurse. Okay, their courses are 10 weeks. We did this stuff up front, and then they had to complete routine clinical logs. We asked them in three of those logs to reflect using an MI focus. So using these questions, like where would you rate yourself on the scale of 1 to 10 for importance, confidence, or readiness related to that particular behavior? So like delegating, for example. What types of open-ended questions would you like to hear about that to help you explore that goal process? What reflective statements might be useful, and what affirmations would support your forward progress? And then we had a final debrief to say, was this a waste of your time or what? So again, very limited for young ladies, pre-licensure, and I talked about the ideas about checking in with them. So what was interesting, they had to also reflect on the OCNI benchmarks and the competencies. So no surprise, you know, 3 out of 4 of them wanted to become better at their communications, evidence, time management. The ones without a number was just a single person had reflected on this. MI, they asked slightly different questions. You know, they explored the concept of confidence for themselves, or multitasking, or things like, completing the integrative practicum. So it offered a slightly different framework for them to explore what was uncomfortable for them. So all the students from pure MI thing were able to obviously do open-ended questions, and they could do the scales appropriately. the reflections were so-so. If I was teaching him, I'd want to work with that a little bit more. The affirmations were hard, of course. It's always hard for them to call out their own strengths. Confidence, 3 out of 4 did. Confidence, 2 out of 4. And then each of them chose something like awareness, calm, resilience as their affirmation strength statement. About 50% wanted to gain more skill sets, of course. They, you know, wanted to set up some goals for practicing with each patient each shift. And, of course, it's not something that feels really natural at this point, no surprise. One of the shifts in perspectives that we saw that was kind of cool was they wanted to seek collaboration. So rather than assuming that a person is non-compliant, they started saying, oh, this person's in pre-contemplation. And so that student chose to reword both their charting, but also, you know, how they moved that person into their next state of change. And so they weren't focusing anymore on the, I want to teach you this stuff. It was interesting. I could read through. They didn't necessarily always call it out, but I could see that 3 out of 4 students described some sort of situation in their experiential log that said they could have used MI here and made a difference. And, of course, they're not yet catching that, but one did. The patient was emotional and crying. Looking back at the situation, I realized it would have been a really good time to use MI. Quotes, tell me how you're feeling. And I wish I'd thought of something to say in the moment, but at least reflecting on it afterwards will help prepare me for the next situation. So that's where the AI piece came in. I've got the positive flip on that. So the AI specific elements were, some of the sub-themes. Here was their dream. It's a little complicated to read, but I'll do my best. We are confident, compassionate, joyful, empowered, kind, helpful, passionate, resourceful, strong, connectors, advocates, reliable, and thankful. We provide empathy and use balance to put pieces together and spread sunshine in a selfless, content, and peaceful way that offers grace to self and others. We do all of this above to empower our patients. So that was their vision. What was fun was several elements came out in their clinical log. Grace came out with themselves and with others. The concept of relationship building also came out. They really wanted to strengthen that with not only their patients, but the families of the patients. Self-advocacy was big, and again, that positive language. And then just generally practicing AI. This is a new skill. I have grace with myself. I need to work forward and keep learning it. Positive awareness came out. They, again, saw confidence with, I think my report giving was improved. I did it well the second time around. I feel confident I can continue doing that. Same thing with being prepared prior to calling a doc. You know, again, really scary skills. And yet I did well, and I, you know, the first time it didn't go so well, what can I do to be successful? What was fun is then they also had this other shift that one of their final pieces was being a nurse is more than just administering meds and performing skills. Yay, they got that part. I've realized that I'm also a teacher, lifetime learner, skill performer, advocate, communication utilizer, et cetera, et cetera. The journey seems like it just started and I still have a long way to go, which is partially true, but I am nearing one end of one portion of it. So again, that positive. What was fun with this is as we looked at it, we kept seeing, you know, again, some real comparisons, but it's all literally a spiral. So I don't know that you can read all of it, but the MI spirit and being AI, the two philosophy points, are very much so the center of all of this. Open-ended questions mirrored beautifully with the simultaneity principle. Affirmations mirrored beautifully with the positive image, positive action principle. Reflections mirrored with the poetic principle and the constructionist principle. And summarizing as a whole was that whole, you know, summary of the parts is greater than the whole. And so we're still working on this. We're working through understanding what pieces are going to work and how best to present it to people. We just did another cohort with a much larger group. We've got 45 clinical logs to analyze and look at that a little bit more. So we really recognize that AI really encouraged those students to create a vision of the successful nurse and, you know, positively explore the upcoming nursing experience. A fun thing about the vision is the dream seemed, you know, if to us maybe a little silly, for them it seemed impossible. Week 10, when we were talking, they looked at it again. They said, we're not there yet, but we see we're definitely in that description now. So that was huge, I think. Students identified and prioritized some behaviors and could more consciously go about taking care of themselves in order to become a good nurse and become successful. They had, it within the reflection activities and the practice session, they gained some skill sets. With MI, they would certainly need more to get more proficient. And in fact, I just talked to one of the students recently, and she was saying, you know, I'm still nervous about using MI because I'm not very good at it. And it's like, well, that's why you practice doing it and give yourself feedback. And then, of course, the students didn't like the MI-related questions, but the faculty loved it because the students got so much deeper and richer into their understanding of why they were doing what they were doing, what they were engaging with their clients, et cetera. So we kept them in. Our next steps, like I said, we've got another group of people that we're working with. This is one of those things, though, I was enjoying your presentation, and I think, you know, this is one of those layering elements that can be added just about anywhere with just about any kind of a population. You just have to spin who you're talking to and how you frame up the dream and the focus on the MI. So this is something we're experimenting with and exploring. And one of the things we're hoping to do is add it into our own RN to BS curriculum in the population course all the way through the integrative practicum, which is our final course as well. And this ours is fully online, so again, we'll have very rich qualitative data. So I think that's it.